As always, to begin with, I'm just going to run through the hockey and the football results from today. We don't have any rugby on, so this should be short and sweet. We are missing a few results in the rugby, so if you happen to have them handy, do text in 166 177. It'd be great to hear from you, and that would be very helpful. Thank you very much. So we're going to start in hockey today, just to be controversial, but also because it's been a big weekend in hockey. So starting in the women's prem, we have Valkyries B 3, Ramsey 2, Vikings A 4, Valkyries A 0, Castletown A 0, Backers A 4, Saracens A 8, Harlequins A 2. Looking at the men's prem, and we have Vikings B 0, Vikings A 7, and Ramsey A 4, Backers B 2. In the women's Div 1, we have Backers B 8, Vikings C 1, Backers C 0, Vikings B 6, and Castletown B 1, Valkyries C 0. And then finally, in the men's Division 1, we have Harlequins B 5, Ramsey B 2, and we also have Valkyries B 4, Castletown A 1, and the Saracens B and Backers C game is still ongoing. That result will come in as soon as we get it. Looking at football in the men's prem, we have Ramsey 2, Maroun 2. I am missing the results for the Ayr versus St John's game, also the Peel versus Douglas Old Boys and Douglas Athletic versus St George's games. So if you happen to have them handy, do text in 166 177, please. Also in the prem, we have Rushen 2, Laxey 1 and St Mary's 6, Douglas Royal 2. In JCK Division 2, we have Castletown 0, Union Mill 6, Foxdale 11, Pullrose 1, Colby 10, Michael 0, Onken 8, Governors Athletic 1, Braddon 1, Jims 3, and Malou 5, Douglas and District 1. In JCK Combi 2, I am missing the results for Douglas and District versus Malou, but we have Ramsey Youth Centre 5, Foxdale 1. The Michael Onken game was postponed, as was the Union Mills versus Braddon game. I am missing the results for the Gyms versus Governors Athletic game, but then we have Colby 1, Castletown 1. And in Combi 1, I have the scores for Corinthians versus Laxey. That was Corinthians 1, Laxey 0. And then Maroun 1, Ramsey 3. But I am missing the results for St George's versus Douglas Athletic and St John's versus Ayr. So do text in, as I said, 166 177 at the risk of sounding like a parrot. But it would be great to have those scores in. But let's talk about hockey now, because it's been a very exciting weekend in the world of hockey. Sam Spooner, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Thank you very much. Good to be back.
Yeah. Let's start with, well, actually, no, I was going to say, let's start with your game, but we're not going to today, because there's been more exciting things happening in the women's prem. Very unexpected matchup between Vikings A and Valkyries A. Let's start with that game.
So, yeah, Vikings A had to win today to win the league. Valkyries A had to win to delay that championship celebration for another week and potentially overcome it if Vikings A lost next week. However, Vikings A came out all guns blazing today. Valkyries A, they didn't really have much going forward in the first half, and defensively they were a little weak. It was 4-0 half-time, and Vikings were very, very quickly 2 goals to the good. All the goals came from Kim Carney as well, but it was a true team performance. Defensively, they were very, very strong. Going forward, they were incredible. Rusty, but still, given the fact that they've just had sort of 8 weeks off pretty much, very, very, very good. Valkyries A, however, second half, their defensive performance was very, very good. But the first half, they just didn't get into the stride quickly enough. And going forward, they didn't quite have enough to overcome Vikings A. So despite some close games earlier in the season, Vikings A came through fairly easy today, 4-0, and champions of the Rossborough Women's Premier League.
Congratulations to them. Kim Carney was on a mission.
Absolutely, yeah. She
was taking no prisoners.
She was itching to get on that pitch before the game had even come into view.
I would not want to go head-to-head with Kim Carney on a hockey pitch. Okay, let's talk about close game and another shock result. Valkyries B 3, Ramsey 2.
Yeah, and to be honest, I gave this to Ramsey before the weekend as a prediction, but Valkyries B, their defence is incredible. Going forward, I didn't think they were quite up to that Premier League standard. Ramsey, they've been best of the rest after the league split, and they've beaten everybody they've played since that league split. But today, Steph Cottier, Flo Barber and Lisa Kelly on the score sheet for Valkyries B. Vicky Garner and Amy Swift on the score sheet for Ramsey. But what a performance from Valkyries B. They've just proved that they belong in that Premier League again.
And then we have, it looks like quite a cruisy game for Backers A. They beat Castletown A 4-0.
Yeah, and early on in the season, prior to lockdown now. It seems like a very, very long time ago. You'd probably say Castanet were going to come out winners in this game, but Bakayoko always have a knack of coming out at the end of the season and having a bigger say on title destinations, getting results that they didn't get at the start of the season, and they've done that again here. Freya Dushaz, Hope Goff, Martha Broderick and Charlotte Fisher on the score sheet for Castanet. But I would add Castanet was short of a couple of players today, but they pulled up a couple of under-16s. I have forgotten their names, but I did have it. Oh, there we are. Freya and Alois had a great game today for Castanet there on their debuts for the first team.
And then finally in the women's prem, we have Saracens A8, Harlequins A2.
Yeah, unfortunately, Harlequins A have struggled this season in the Premier League. Lydia Wiley got on the score sheet with 2 goals, though. And I think this year is just a consolidation year for them before the attack in that Div 1 next year. Saracens A, though, when you look at the goal scorers, this is an incredibly young side. Dulcie Tier, Lucy Farragher, Carrick Sampson, Eda McCubbin, Krista Quilliam with 2, and Amy Sellers with 2. And that really is a team for the future.
Moving on to the men's prem, we only have 2 games. So let's start with... We're going to finish with your game, actually. So we'll start with Ramsey A versus Backers B, and Ramsey won that 4-2.
Yeah, quite convincingly won that game. Ramsey, again, they were disappointing before the league split, but since then, they've won all their games, and they've really improved since that league split, and hopefully next season they'll be wanting to push into that top half of the Premier League. Nat Smith, Tom Hurd, Alex Neil, and Billy Kane on the score sheet for Ramsey A, and Backers B was James Leeson, Harry Kalen.
And finally, in the men's prem, your game, Vikings B versus Vikings A. Vikings A won 7-0.
I blame Paul Moran giving me a phone call halfway through the game.
Yes, yeah, you actually answered a phone call whilst you were playing.
Well, unfortunately, I had my watch on, linked to my phone, and I thought it might have been an emergency of some sort, unrecognised number, so I answered it, and it turned out to be Paul, so I spent a few minutes talking to him on the pitch.
Is this whilst you're in goals?
No,
and
I was
7 out, goals went in?
I was outfield in the first half, and then me and the keeper swapped in the second half because he wanted to run around, and I was a bit tired. So.
Okay. How was that? Which do you prefer?
Oh, definitely a net. I'm not a runner. Can you not tell?
I noticed that you, you've got huge grazes down your leg. What happened?
Oh, that was last week.
Oh, right, okay. Battle scars.
I turned up to our first team's friendly, and the first thing I did was slide on the floor.
Less than friendly. let's move on to the women's Div 1. So we have Backers B 8, Vikings C 1.
Yeah, big win for Backers B. I can't talk about this result without talking about another result, Backers C versus Vikings B. I was getting score updates from the Vikings B Backers C game. And it was 2-0 up. Backers B were only 1-0 up at half time. And Vikings B were pretty much in the driving seat. And then Backers B sort of accelerated out of absolutely nowhere and suddenly scored 2 goals, 3 goals. Then the next update I got was Vikings B were 3-0 up at half time, and then they scored another goal just after half time. So then Vikings B were back ahead, winning the league. Then Backers B would go up and score another couple of goals. And then we were like, texting all our mates in the Vikings B team, what to score. And in the end, it's literally, goal difference was level. Mm-hmm. It's come down to goals scored, which Vikings B lead. And not by very many now as well, because it was 5 goals between them, I believe. And obviously now it's ended with 3 goals between them on goals scored. It was so, so close. But that goal from Jan Carney for Vikings C won the league for Vikings B today.
Wow, that's
exciting.
The C
team did them a massive, massive favour scoring that goal. Mm-hmm. But Backers B, credit to them. They had a tough first half, but they came out in that second half and did exactly what they needed to do. Sophie Howland with a brilliantly taken hat-trick.
Yeah, brilliant.
I'm sure she'll be playing netball tomorrow. Rosie Callow with 2, Sam Franklin with 2, Neve Goddard with 1. And obviously, I've said already, Jan Carney for Vikings C with that super important goal.
So huge congratulations to Vikings B then. So one of our texters actually described the game as a Titanic battle.
The 2 games together were Titanic battles. It was just, it was amazing to be there listening to, getting text constantly updating us, and Backers B were ahead for a period of the game, and by Vikings B would go back ahead, and then Backers B would be back ahead. It was just back and forth. But when that final whistle blew, pretty much exactly the same time in both games, We realised the Vikings B had won it by the skin of their teeth.
That is a brilliant end to the season. Like, you can't ask for much more than that, really. And then you also had another shock result between Castletown B and Valkyrie C. Castletown B won 1-0.
Yeah, and I've said it before, Valkyrie C have been punching above their weight, but that doesn't give them enough credit. Valkyrie C have been incredible this season. Up until just before lockdown, the game before lockdown, they were in a title fight. And unfortunately, I think that 3-week break probably knocked them a little bit. They've beaten Backers B in this league. I'm not sure if they've beaten Vikings B off the top of my head. I can't remember. But they've been in and around that title fight, just in behind, waiting for one of them to slip up. And unfortunately, they haven't quite had the form that they showed in the opening part of the season. And Castown B, they've always been strong defensively in this league. Going forward, they've been a little bit weaker. But today, Katie Nicholson got the goal for them, got them the win.
And then finally in the men's Division 1, we have Harlequins B 5, Ramsey B 2.
Yeah, and expected result, to be fair. Ramsey B, Seb Swithenbank and Gwyn Jones on the score sheet for Ramsey B. Harlequins B, Sam Cunningham, Corey Corkle, Dave Smith and, bear with me, Ronan Santana-Tolia.
Pretty
I think
good.
That's the first time I've got his name right. Apologies.
And as we mentioned before, the Saracens B Backers C game, that kicked off a bit late. So
I've literally just got the score for that.
Ooh.
Saracens 2, Backers C 0. Liam Farrett with 2 goals.
Excellent. Is that a surprising result or an expected result?
Not really. I mean, yes, Saracens have been struggling for players. They've had to call off their A team today because they don't have the calibre of players that could step into that Premier League safely. They'd have to be using a lot of under-16s, which... they're not quite ready for that step up to the Premier League yet. But given normally you'd have to cancel a team, your lowest team's game, the MHA, obviously because of there's been the COVID impact, and then they don't want to put players in a position where they're going to be in danger. So they've allowed the B team game to go ahead and call the A team off. So credit to them.
And then finally, big congratulations to Valkyries B, who are now title champions of the Men Div 1. They beat Castletown A 4-1.
Yeah, and this is the previous game between the two sides was a 3-2 win for Valkyries. Really, really tight game. Castletown had to win and rely on another team taking points off Valkyries B, which was feasible. You know, I could see it from a backers cult side. Beating Valkyries B in the last day of the season. Well, Valkyries B wanted to do it in their own right. They wanted to do it on their own time. Dean Bettridge opened the score for Valkyries B, followed by Chris Thomas. And then Rob Milchreist scored early in the second half, followed by another goal from Chris Thomas to make it 4-1. I haven't got the goal score for Castan A just yet, but massive well done for Valkyries B. I did just text Dave Hall, their captain, and say, welcome to the Premier League. And the first text back was, oh no. But I'm sure they're absolutely... they're so happy to win that league and get promoted as well, and they're looking forward to next year.
And hello to Dave Hall. We're going to be talking about his wife very shortly in the netball world. But it's lovely to have you back, Sam Spooner, and it's great to hear you're back on the pitch and your knee's holding up nicely. So
just about. The rest of me's not, but you know, age thing.
So one bit at a time, it's fine. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Sam.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
We're talking football now, and Tony Meppin, would you like to give us the latest weather report?
It's very sunny, but actually when I headed back in from Maloo, the rain was coming down, so no, it's okay. We've got all our games done. It's not too good next week, though, is it?
I know, well.
Certainly Monday's not looking too good, and also when you look at Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, that's all looking pretty wet as well. So it will help the pitches, and hopefully it won't spoil any games midweek.
Well, let's look at what's been happening this week in the men's prem. We'll start with Ramsey versus Moran. It sounds like it was quite an exciting match. It was a draw 2-2.
Yeah, it does, and it's an important game for both sides. I think more Ramsey than Moran, because Moran have had a great run since Christmas. I know I slated them a little bit because the performances weren't there, but certainly since then they've come good, and Ramsey were 2-1 up at one stage. Kelvin Kolsky and Matthew Montgomery, same goal scorers as last Saturday, got the 2 goals for Ramsey. Connor Gilbert got one for Moran. He's in good goal scoring form at the moment. But Joey Rothwell, it was, who got the other one. So points shared, and Moran have got a big game next Saturday against Corinthians, and Ramsey have got a big game on Tuesday night against Corinthians as well. So a lot of good football to be played next week, and let's just hope it goes ahead.
Lots of stuff to look forward to. We have been texted in the score for Ayr versus St John's. Ayr 2, St John's 1. Thank you very much to whoever texted in that score. I appreciate it.
Yeah, and just to give you some goal scorers, Johnny Shields got one for Ayr. Dan Hawke got the other one. I didn't realise Dan had signed for Ayr United. Big, tall lad, 6'4", 6'5", if it's the right Dan. I think it is. But Sam Beatty, it was, young lad coming through the St John's ranks, got the goal for the Johnners.
I haven't got the Peel Douglas Old Boys score.
Yeah, we've got it through now. It's Peel 6, Douglas High School Old Boys 3. for Douglas High School Old Boys. Great hat-trick by Mike Booth. He got 3-2 from the penalty spot. For Peel Lee Gale with 2. And here's a story for you. Harry Pack, Joe Pack's son. Mm-hmm. Harry passed his driving test, I believe, this week. So well done,
did
Harry.
Did he drive onto the pitch?
And no, he didn't. But Karen Christian, who has been, you know, he's important for Peel, and he was in good form last week. I think he lasted 3 minutes, and then Harry came off the bench and scored 2. So well done, Harry. What a great week. Look after your mum, spoiler. But Charlie Higgins, another young player coming through. I think Charlie's, 16, 17, got the other one. So great result for Peel. And, you know, Douglas High School Old Boys still under a little bit of pressure, but I think they've got enough games where they can get points from to make them stay in the Premiership for next year.
Good stuff. I don't suppose you've got the Douglas Athletics.
I have. I have. They're all a little bit late today because just the way things have gone. Douglas Athletic, nil, St George's 5. So still a little bit more pressure on Douglas Athletic. They're next to the bottom. St John's didn't win today. But with Douglas Royal and Old Boys losing, it's not all panic stations for them. But Chris Bass got 2. Ashley Higginbottom, who's played centre-back for the last couple of weeks, he got a goal today. Kieran McNulty got 1. Good to see him back because he got injured last Saturday, and an own goal as well. So St George is happy enough for those points, and they've still got an awful lot of games to play.
Also in the men's prem, we have Russian 2, Laxey 1.
Well, you remember downstairs I was saying that people kept saying, you know, Corinthians have got 4 points to win the league. No, they haven't. We actually had the incorrect scoring. We had 2-1, but it actually finished 2-2. So well done to Laxey on that one. It must have been a late goal. Aaron Hawley got 1 from the penalty spot. Mike Williams got the other one. Russian led at half-time 2-1. Michael Fernandez got the second goal for Laxey. But Dave Reynolds as well, he scored midweek, but he got another one today. They couldn't get the win, but I think that's a great point for Laxey against Russian. And Russian, now I think it's all sort of pointing towards Corinthians. They've got 4 games to play, but 2's enough for them. You know, a draw and a win. And by this time next week, they may have won their first ever Canada Life Premiership, which is a great achievement. I know I'm attached to the club, but for a small club to come in and do what they've done over the last 3 or 4 years, credit to them.
I feel like you're tearing up.
I am. I'm filling up. It's a proud moment.
And then finally in the men's prem, we have St Mary's 6, Douglas Royal 2.
Yeah, just wondered where this one might go because Douglas Royal had that super result midweek. Taylor Andrews on the score sheet once again. That's 4 and 2, 3 games for him. Jamie Agnew got 1 as well. But for St Mary's, no doubt about it, the star of the show today was Matthew Kent Lloyd. He got a hat-trick. James McGinn got 1. Nice to see you back playing, James. He's a good young player. And he's been waiting to play for St Mary's this season. Jack McVeigh scored from the penalty spot. And they're not too sure who got the 6th one. But I was told to say it'd be Craig Cowan. Well, I know Craig's not a registered player, but we'll mention Craig Cowan because he phoned in with the score.
He can take the credit in my book,
exactly.
So that's fine.
Exactly.
Okay, moving on to JCK Division 2, we have Castletown 0, Union Mills 6.
Yeah, good performance by Castletown in the first half of this because they're only 1-0 down. Ryan Kelly, who got 3 last Saturday, he's got 2 again today. Sean Traylor got 1. Jordan Crawley, Colin Geraghty, good to see him starting for the first team. And a rare one from Owen Quayle, who scored from the penalty spot. Owen's normally playing at the back, stopping goals going in, but today, whatever it was, Foxy must have had a weak moment. Let Owen step up, and Owen put the goal in the back of the net. And Union Mills also are closing in on that JCK Division 2 championship.
Difficult game for Paul Rose. I know a lot of people are rooting for Pulley. They lost to Foxdale 11-1.
Well, it was, and Paul Moran at lunchtime just said, do you think Paul Rose could win this one? And said, well, it's going to be tough, but hey, you know, things can happen. And the news we got through was that Paul Rose had taken the lead through Callum Harding, so incredible. But Foxdale then had to be patient because I think it was slow in coming the goals, and they all sort of came... Oh, a lot of them came in the second half, which to me is possibly fitness. Ricky Newsham got 3. Alex Hewis got 1. Jay Chatwood with a couple of goals. Jason Charmer. Jack Smith got 2. Andrew Berry and Charlie Harrison with the other one. So that keeps Foxdale in a good position as well to finish top 4 and even challenge maybe for that second spot, I think, that everyone's chasing. Mm.
And then another big score between Colby and Michael. Colby beat Michael 10-0.
Yeah, that's 15 goals in 2 games Colby have scored, so they're going well. And I looked at their team sheet midweek and I couldn't believe that they conceded 6 goals. But today, star of the show, Steve Collister got 5. David Thomas got 1. It just says a free kick, top bin. So there's something special. Luke Roberts got 1. Greg Radcliffe doesn't score many. He got a goal. And I've got here, Nigel Goldsmith got 2. Nigel's a master's player. I know you rib me for, you know, saying about people's ages, but Nigel has to be 46, 47. And he sent me a text at lunchtime and he wasn't too sure if he's going to be in the combi, but today he did it all. So well done. And just keep buying the drinks for Charlie Omar, because he's got faith in him. He's the manager. He's picked him today and he's come up trumps with 2 goals.
Brilliant stuff. I like to hear that. And then we have Onken 8, Governors Athletic 1.
Yeah, 4-0 at half-time for Governors Athletic. It was Kastov Lazaroff who got the goal. For Onken, again, another team that's keeping pressure at the top of the table. Joe Rees with 3, Ethan Levers, Connor Dawson, Paul Whitley, Mark Wolfenden and Billy Coulter got the goals for Onken. So yeah, Onken just got to keep going, and that's what everyone else is doing, and hopefully there's going to be a slip up somewhere where it might allow one of the other sides in to capitalise.
Bit of a closer game between Braddon and Jims. Braddon 1, Jims 3.
Yeah, it was, and the goal scorer for Braddon was Nick Harvey, but for Jims, Connor Dempsey got 2 and Kyle Crowley got the other one for Jims.
And then finally in JCK Div 2 we have Malieve 5, Douglas and District 1.
Yeah, and that was a game we featured today, and credit to Douglas and District's goalkeeper, Will Gavin. Pulled off 2 or 3 really good saves. It wasn't for them, this score could have been a lot more. And I'm going to pick on him, Darren Flanagan. I thought had 2 or 3 really good chances to capitalise on one goal that he scored. But Kieran Kreipner did really well. He scored the first one in the first minute. The second one was just after half time. He's a talent, a real talent. He's quick. He's got that bit of edge. And,
How old is he?
Kieran Kreipner, good question. I'll go for 2021, but he's got some. He's got a bit of flair with Paddy Cooper alongside there. Craig Cowan can marshal him through. They've got some good young players coming through, and it's Paddy Cooper who I thought scored the goal of the game. And it was an absolutely fantastic move, because it was Peter Dunn played it into Craig. Craig played it down to Joe Berquist on the right-hand side, and his cross was sent over. Paddy controlled it and then smashed it in with his left foot. Brilliant. And Jamie Skillen as well got another one left foot. So good result for Malieve. I have to compliment them on what they've done at that club over the last year or two. I haven't been there for a while. The clubhouse is outstanding. The changing rooms is an absolute credit to them. And to Gary Gilbert, who does the pitch, cut it twice yesterday, and his son cut it again this morning just to make sure it was perfect for the players. I've never seen Malieve's football pitch look like that before. Well done to everyone. You're working hard on it and you deserve where you want to be. So well done to everyone. Dan Kinley it was who got the goal for D&D.
That's admirable commitment to the pitch. I like that. Moving on to Combi 2. I don't have the score for Douglas District versus Malieve. Do you happen to have it handy?
Are you Combi 1 or Combi 2?
In Combi 2.
Combi 2. Right, Douglas and District 1, Malieve 1. It was 1-0 to D&D at half-time. Graham Gorn got the goal there, but we haven't got Malieve's goal scorer. So if you can text us through 166177, we'll give the player a mention.
And then we have Ramsey Youth Centre 5, Foxdale 1.
Yeah, good result for Youthy, keeping the pressure at the top of the table. I think Uni Mills are going to take the league, but doesn't matter if there's a slip-up, they're there. Mark Farragher got one. Austin Hart got a goal. Matty Corkle, Dylan Parrish. And Martin Murphy got his name on the score sheet. Again, haven't got Foxdale's goal scorer.
And the Michael versus Onken and the Union Mills versus Braddon, those games were both postponed. I'm missing the Jims versus Governors.
Yeah, I haven't got that score through. Okay. We've tried to get it, but it's not come through yet. But if you can text us through 166177.
We can guess the score for now. I'm going Jims 27, Governors Athletic. -5.
Okay.
No, I'm joking. And then finally in Combi 2, we've got Colby 1, Castletown 1.
Yeah, George Callister got the goal for Colby. For Castletown, bit of a story here. Mike Edge scored 2. He had 2 penalties. One is still up in the ether somewhere. They're still looking for the ball, but the other one he scored, so well done. And whoever phoned in, Mike, don't blame me. He just said it needed to be mentioned because it's one of the worst penalties that they've ever seen.
Absolutely ruthless. Combi 1, I'm missing a couple scores. St George's versus Douglas Athletic.
Yeah, St George's couldn't field a team, so game has been postponed. Obviously, the points will be awarded to Douglas Athletic.
Mm-hmm. And also missing St John's versus Ayr.
We've got that one. Great result for St John's because, they work on limited numbers due to people being available, but today, great result. 6-1 winners. Kieran Brock, could play him. He got 1. My old mate Liam Sale got 2. Pedro Cardoza got 1. An own goal. And Kieran Lees got the other one.
And then we have Corinthians 1, Laxey 0.
Yeah, they had to work really hard for this result. 77th minute, Corinthians got the goal. And when you look at it, they've played, I think today was their 15th game, and they're still undefeated. They've got maximum points, which is brilliant. They played 22 games, so I think it's the 15th they played, so seven to go. But Laxey's goalkeeper today was outstanding. Mm. We haven't got a name, but whoever you are, well done. Credit to you. And Mark O'Neill it was, 77 minutes for Corinthians.
And then we have, well, here I've got Moran 1, Ramsey 3, but we've just had a text in saying it was 3-all.
Right, okay.
And we've also got, they've texted in saying Owen got Moran's first goal, and then has texted in again saying Owen Hurt.
Yeah.
Oh, Owen Hurt got Moran's first goal. Okay, sorry. I was worried that this person was injured or something. But...
Right. Well, I've got Ryan Dean from the penalty spot for Moran. Owen Hurt, he could be. I would have thought he'd be in the first team, but, you know, we're not too sure on that one. But for Ramsey, their goal scorers were Fiop Egan, I've got here. Roan Gell got one, and Martin Tor got one. Well done, Martin. Still playing footy, but if it's right, 3-3.
And then finally in Combi 1, I'm missing the scores for Douglas Old Boys versus Peel.
Got that one. Mm-hmm. Douglas High School Old Boys 0, Peel 2. Daniel Lane from the penalty spot, 0-0 at half-time. I love this name. Ethan Herbert got the other goal for Peel, so good result that for Peel, 2-0.
Fantastic stuff. Well, thank you very much, Tony Meppham, and we'll speak to you next week. Hopefully the pitches won't be too waterlogged and they'll be good and ready to go, but I'm sure you'll give us your weather predictions.
Yeah, and
later.
We may have the Premier League one next week, because the way it looks now is Corinthians need 4 points out of four games. So, you know, they play on Tuesday against mm-hmm. Ramsey, and then they play on Saturday against Moran, but still a lot of football to go, and as we've seen today, some rare results and things can happen.
Yeah, it's good. It's exciting. Okay, it is. Well, until next time, thank you very much, Tony Meppham.
My pleasure.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
And we've just had a couple of texts in going back to the hockey. Ramsey under 16s, they beat Harlequin. Oh no, sorry, they lost to Harlequins under 16s, 0-11. And we've also had another text in for the under 16s hockey saying Vikings under 16s beat Saracens 3-0. So very well done to all those winners today, and commiserations to, I'm not going to say the losers because that sounds really harsh, but we're going to move on swiftly and talk about netball with my mother, Deborah Evans. How are you?
I've been kind of pulled out of the cupboard, dusted off, because I don't think there's anybody else available today, so it's really nice to be here.
Nan's downstairs, she's listening. Well, no, I doubt she's listening, to be honest. She's she's reading a book, reading the Bible. Okay, so back to netball. And despite all the lockdowns, this season has actually been very interesting, because we mentioned it at the start, ages ago it feels like now, but Bala has split their A and B teams. Mm. And for years and years and years, it was pretty much Simcox and Bala in the top two spots. And then third was kind of to play for, but it used to be Route 1, and then it was Thompson. But anyway, that split has opened up the league table completely, and I personally think it's made it really interesting and refreshing, because this season pretty much everyone apart from Simcox Red are who are kind of like comfortable at the top, everyone has either beaten someone once and then gone on to lose to them. Mm. So you just rock up on a Sunday morning and you just can't predict anything now. It's a gambler's worst nightmare.
Absolutely. I mean, I think Ashley Hall and Jane Ryder, who kind of managed the teams for Sumatra Global, Balasala, have been thinking about this for a while. And I think it was a really smart move. By splitting the A team, it's allowed them to bring some of the younger players through and really give them the opportunity to play at premiership level so that they can develop their skills. Because it's only by going in there and playing at that level that people come on and get used to playing at that intensity. So I think it was a really smart move. I think it's in the best interest of the club. And I think you're right. It makes the league more interesting this year. But also going to the future, it bodes well for netball. It means we're going to have experienced players, more players perhaps challenging to get onto the Ironman squads as well, which would be fabulous.
It gives me heart palpitations on a weekly basis. And if that's not what sport is about, then I probably need to go to the hospital. But let's look at tomorrow's matches. So Again, a bunch of good matches. We're just going to look at the Premiership today. Unfortunately, we don't have time to go through all of them, but I promise next week we will make some time to go through all the leagues so no one's left out. But looking at the Prem tomorrow, we have Thompson Travel 1 versus Balasala Alpha. Now, Balasala Alpha, I would say, kept the majority of the Balasala A teams, so they're stronger than Balasala Bravo, even though they're split.
Yeah, and that's reflected in the results that have come through this season and in the league table places. Balasala Alpha are currently sitting at third, with Balasala Bravo sitting fifth. Tomorrow, that's going to be an interesting game. Both teams coming off, coming to the court from wins last week. Thompson beat Brown Crane Tomb Raiders comfortably, and you would expect that. Much, much tougher game for Thompson this week against, as I said, third place Balasala.
Thompson are missing some players now. A lot of their players have gone back to uni. They've still got the Christian sisters, who take up a shooting circle and a defensive circle. Mm. And you've got Lexa in the midcourt, Lexa Hattersley.
Absolutely. And Thompson are a great club. They have developed their young players over the years, and they have great strength in depth, and they have a wonderful way of bringing their players and nurturing them through into the Premiership. And their players seem to be able to step up and step in easily. Mm. They're a great club, as I say. So I think it's going to be a really interesting game tomorrow. But I do think it's going to be a win for Sumatra Global Balasala.
Okay. Yeah. I would also put my money on Bala, but best of luck to Thompson, obviously. Mm-hmm. Then we have Manx Gems Rubies versus Brown Crane Tomb Raiders. Now, these two are currently sat at the bottom of the table, Manx Gems just ahead, but by a few points, enough to feel a little bit comfortable. And but it's strange, because I thought Tomb Raiders were having a really good season, actually. I thought they've come back strong and they look really relaxed and confident on court. But I checked the league table before and saw, was quite surprised to see them at the bottom.
Yeah, Brown Crane Tomb Raiders are full of talented players, and they've played together for quite a number of seasons. They're always a very difficult team to play against. They have real flair. They have great understanding between their players. But yeah, surprisingly, they've struggled this season. Manx Gems Rubies are another team that have been together for quite a long period of time. They've really been nurtured through the junior leagues and through the lower leagues excellently by their club. They're a very exciting team. Lots
they
of
make
players.
Up the majority of the under-17s Ireland squad.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that we've got players in there who've played at international level, and that is absolutely wonderful. I think it will be a good game. I think Manx Gems Rubies play quite a controlled netball game, whereas Tomb Raiders are really quite fast, and they enjoy playing a fast game, and they're really an exciting team to watch. I think it will be a good game, but I really do feel that it'll be quite a comfortable win for Manx Gems.
I would agree. Then we have an interclub derby between Simcox Gold versus Simcox Red. And to put it bluntly, it's going to be a tough day on court for Golds tomorrow.
Absolutely. But, you know, I think this game almost reflects just how well Simcox have developed their young players and the youth that's been coming through their club over the past 5-6 years. They've now got three teams in the Premiership. And Simcox Blue and Simcox Gold, great teams, really difficult to play against. But you can't. You couldn't beat, bet against Simcox Red. And I think Golds will just go out there, try and play their game, enjoy the experience. But it's going to be a comfortable morning on court for the Simcox Red players.
And then we have Balasala Bravo versus Marbury Misfits, which I think is going to be a good game. But it just depends, because Marbury Misfits, their season's been plagued with injury. Mm-hmm. Case in point, myself, and pregnancies. Not that pregnancies are a plague, but it's basically a season for them of grab players from anywhere you can. And depending on who you get, you can either have a really solid win or you can lose really heavily.
Absolutely. I think Marbury really can take a lot from this season. as you say, they've had a lot of players out with for different reasons. And yet they're another club who've been building their talent over the last few seasons. And again, they've got some really experienced players in there. Becky Dunn, who is such a versatile player, can play in both circles. Mm-hmm. And you've got some great players who've had experience throughout the years, and they've had a lot of experience playing together. I think they've had a great season. I really do, you know, considering that they've had people like Hannah Riley out.
With a knee injury. Emma Snell is
Emma's
pregnant.
Had her baby. Emma's done a fabulous job coaching them. I think she's really shown herself to be a really good coach. Balasala, bravo. We've got Ashley playing for them.
Yep. And Niamh Skillicorn, who is one of my favourite up-and-coming stars, I would
absolutely
say.
Absolutely. Super little player is Niamh. And Balasala, you know, even though it's my old club, they always play with flair. Mm. And Balasala Brava are no exception, even though they're a newly formed team this year. Mixture of experience and youth. And, you know, the younger players are gaining so much from playing with those experienced players, really improving their game. I think it will be a great game to watch. I think if you were going to bob down and you didn't have any affiliations with any
either
club, then this would be a really good game for you to watch. I think there'll be great skills on show. I think there'll be some superb shooting.
Unfortunately, Ashley Cowan is who's on Balasala Bravo. She is out with a calf injury. We'll say calf injury, just to be mysterious. But Claire Barks is back after injury. So it'll be really good to see her back on court because she's a fierce defender.
She is. Claire's a super player. Not only is she, a fit player and has had loads of experience, Claire's a real thinking player.
And she's a generous player.
Yeah, she is. She supports everybody else on the court. And she plays for the rest of the team. She's a real team player. So I think it's great to hear that Claire's back on the court.
And then finally in the Prem, we have Simcox Blue versus Route 1 Connections. Now, Route 1 have basically had a turnaround season this season because they were due to get relegated last year. And now they're sat second in the table.
Absolutely. This has been like their best season in years and years. And again, they're a club who are benefiting through investing in their young players that have now been able to come through and support their and play alongside their first team players. I've had a couple of players who've come back from the UK as well, back from university or returned
Sarah
to the
Watson.
Island. Sarah and Paige.
Paige, yeah.
Super players who really bring bring great deal to the club, and to any team. Again, generous players, easy to play with. I think this is going to be a really interesting game because Simcox Blue, do you know, they're really unpredictable. When they are on, they are like lightning up the court, and they again have some absolutely fabulous players, and they are tough opponents. You know that they are going to scrap it out from the minute the whistle goes at the start of the match right through to that final whistle. They are never going to give an inch, and they're going to fight for every ball. But that said,
they've lost Ailish, though. Ailish has been poached by the Reds.
But, you know, this is a club with great strength in depth. They have people who can play multiple positions on court. I'm sure they'll have no problem bringing up another shooter. It's a real shame that, you know, for a programme like this, we don't have the team sheets for the following for the matches the following day, because I think that will be really interesting. But then they might not want to give away any secrets about who they're putting it where. I'm going to go for a Route 1 Connections win on this one.
A Route 1's, yeah, I am as well. You didn't say who you were going to put your money on for Marbury Misfits or Balasala B.
Do you know, my heart says Balasala B because I'm a Bala girl, but I
can't believe
think
that.
Marbury Motors will just sneak
Misfits.
It.
Misfits. I'm going to put my money on Misfits because I have to. So thank you very much for that lovely esoteric netball chat. Very enjoyable, and you're welcome anytime. I promise you're not a last resort. Bring Nan up into the studio next time, she can chat about netball.
That'd be great. Thank you for having me.
Natterball.
New sport.
Let's move on. Manx Radio Saturday Sport. And just to finish with, in just over 2 weeks' time, the island's biggest annual multi-sport event is taking place. The Manx Youth Games is set for the 15th of May, but to be honest with you, numbers are struggling a bit. So this is a call to arms for all 6 to 16-year-olds, sorry. But I've been droning on for a while now, so I'm going to let Sports Development Officer Gianni Epifani tell you a little bit more about it and also how you can get involved.
At the moment, numbers are down, if I'm being honest, but the reason behind that is we've not had any training sessions because of the two lockdowns. Well, we've had a couple, so it's hard to gauge exactly how many competitors that we have got. We have introduced an online registration system. We introduced that during the last lockdown, and I think now we're over 500. But the target that we've set ourselves in keeping with previous years is to get over 1,000 children involved on the day.
Is this across the board with all sports, or are you seeing some sports are a bit more popular than others or less popular than others?
Yeah, it's a mixed bag. One that stands out at the moment with a lot of children who registered are cricket. Surprisingly, a sport that is struggling, which I didn't think it would, is BMXing.
And this is brand new this year, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the first time we've introduced any form of cycling. It's the first time that we've had cycling involved in the format of BMXing. We had a session a couple of weeks ago at Nobles Park, and numbers were low there. We had a session last night. I'm not sure what the numbers were like there. But our sponsors, HSBC, they sponsor British Cycling. So it's important, really, that we have a decent take-up for BMXing.
Do you think that could just be because of lockdown, things are a little bit murky, and also anything new, you know, sometimes it can take a while to get running?
I mean, unfortunately, we did the assemblies back in January. And when we mentioned BMXing, well, you know, all the kids were super excited about that. I'm conscious January is a long time, especially when you're young. So a lot of people might just need reminding, really, hence hopefully today might help as well. So just reminder that, you know, we have got a couple of training sessions left. And also, we're going to be a bit more flexible this year. If you turn up on the day, at the moment, all sports, we'll be happy to see you. And also, we're going to have sign-on nights at the NSC on the 11th and 12th of May, where you can turn up in the evening and sign on to sports as well. So if you've forgot about the training sessions, there's still an opportunity to take part on the day as well. So we'll make it as easy as we can.
Like you said before, you've had to miss all the usual training sessions you would have because of lockdown. For kids who might be feeling a little bit nervous, like about their abilities, who would have used those training sessions to their advantage to ease themselves in, how would you sort of encourage those people to get involved?
Well, it's a very good point, but the whole ethos, if that's the right word to use, behind the Manx Youth Games is having a day that's the focus is on fun. It's not on the results, it's not on how good you are or even how bad you are. We just forget about that. All abilities, if you've not played the sport before, it doesn't matter. Just come down, and the challenge for us and for the coaches is to make sure you have a really fun-filled day, really. So I know it's easy for me to say that here, but just come and try it, and we'll make sure you have a really good day.
What are the sports that kids can choose from?
So we've got badminton, basketball, BMX, which we've just spoken about, cricket, Crown Green Bowls is quite popular. Numbers are growing there. Girls football, handball, hockey, netball, squash, swimming, table tennis, tag rugby, tennis, and disability multi-sport.
See, so there's loads there, and I think even going back to sort of saying we've missed those training sessions and someone's going in new, it's the fact that this day of fun can kickstart someone's sporting career for them.
They might
just find something that they love and carry
absolutely on. Even when we do have the training sessions, it's what happens after the Manx Youth Games which is important bit. So you go down on the 15th of May, you find a sport or a day that you really enjoy, that could be the platform then to stay involved. But it's got to start somewhere, and hopefully it can start by, you know, on the 15th of May is having a go at one of the sports.
Sports Development Officer Gianni Epifani there. To get involved, either call Gianni on 688-556, or if you have any questions, you can email him on gianni.epifani@gov.im. But don't worry, those details can be found on this story on the Manx Radio Sports page. And that's it from me. Well done to all of you hockey title winners. You have earned yourself a celebratory protein shake made up of vodka and Coke, if you are over 18, of course. And best of luck to the netballers tomorrow. Play hard, but play safe. And finally, thank you very much to my guests today, to football guru and weatherman Tony Meppham, to Sam Cutlery Spooner, and also to my mum, Debbie Evans, and also to Nan, because she stood here in the studio as well and is an avid rugby player herself. And of course, finally, to you, thank you very much for having us on. It's lovely to be back in your company. Remember, if you have a sport that isn't getting any airtime or you don't think is getting enough airtime, then just email me on rhianevans@manxradio.com. That's R-H-I-A-N-E-V-A-N-S @manxradio.com. It can literally be anything from disc golf to free running. I draw the line at cockfighting, but apart from that, just drop me a message. Have a great Saturday night and a lovely Sunday tomorrow. And I'll pass you back over to Christy De Haven now. And I will look forward to speaking to you next week. See you soon. Bye for now.